Okay, I will go on with the Mauri finished, and it came to my mind to speak a little bit this night, weight, and speak about the living weight and what it means if we have living weight here in the earth. And Bible says that the weight comes hearing the word of Christ, and the word Christ means anointed, and so the word of Christ means anointed word, and weight comes when we hear the anointed word from the Lord, and Christ is anointed, because this word, only the text without the Spirit, is the dead letter. But when the Spirit opens the word for us, it's the living word, and then it becomes the word of Christ. And if we need big weight, we need to hear more and more the word of Christ, and so our weight could increase. And I believe that Lord wants that our weight increase all the time, that we are not just reaching some level and staying there all my life. I think that when Jesus sees us like the stairs, that there are all step, and he wants that we come one level up and up all the time, that we are not staying just like the flat place, but he sees us like the stairs, that when more weight comes, we raise up to upper level. And he is the God who multiplies all things, our life, and he wants also to multiply our weight, that it will increase more and more, that we could do more good things for his kingdom, and that we could more successfully to succeed our life, all situation, better and better. Because if we have less weight, it takes much time to fight and succeed even the normal things what happens in person's life. And if we have just a little bit weight, all that weight come to hold and keep the situation under the control in our life. But if we have much more weight, then we can help also the other people and help their life. Because Jesus not want that we just succeed in our life, just, but he wants that we get the ability to grow in weight, that we can help also other people to succeed. And so we need more and more weight. And weight comes when we hear the word of Christ. And I will read first from Mark chapter 11, and I will start from verse 13. Mark 11, verse 13. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. And then I will go on here, verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed hath withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So we here see that Jesus showed an example. He cursed the fig tree, and when he cursed it, they could see any change in it. But next day, they could see a big change. It has dead. So he used the word, because when he went to see the victory, he found out that there was nothing, and the word says that it was not the season for figs. So it was the other year season. It was not time of the it was not the fruit time. But what Jesus was really looking for from the fig tree, because the Bible says that it was not the time for the season for figs. I think he was looking for their, I can call them in English like the early figs. The fig tree makes few months earlier when the real fruit comes. It makes early figs, and they are not the real fruit. They are like I can describe like the potato. Potato makes like the early fruit there above the earth, but the real fruit is there inside the ground. And fig tree is a little bit same. It's bring first the early fruit, and afterwards come the real fruit. But because Jesus didn't find that early fruit, that early fig there, then he cursed this tree, because he knew that if there was not that early figs, so he knew that there will never be the figs when the season time is. And so he cursed that this tree. Do you understand? Okay, good. And so he saw it, his disciples, that they have to wait in God. And who has this wait could talk to the mountain and command it to remove from his place. But there are some limitations. If person has doubt in his heart, he could not remove the mountain. And so if we are doubting, we could not remove mountains. And what kind of mountains Jesus has called us to remove? I believe that all these natural mountains are the right place. We need not to move them. Maybe God has made a perfect work when he created the whole universe, and he put the mountains at the right place. So it must mean something else, some other things. And in Hebrew language, the word mountain is quite close to the word like the demons, or that demonic powers and this demonic rulers. So the mountain word is quite close to the word. And sometimes we have to get the demons removed that we can see the glory of the God. When Jesus cast out the demons, there were the big changes in those persons' life who he set free. So the mountain was moving in those persons' life. Sometimes the sickness of illness or disease may be the mountain we have to talk it and command it to go. Many times these days it is depressed. People are so depressed, and we have to command the mountain to go, that there will come freedom. But we can't do it if we don't have faith in God. And faith comes when we hear the word of Christ more and more. And it is not enough that we just hear the word of God, because we have to also to speak it. This word says that we have to speak to the mountain, and then it will remove. So we have to wait in our heart, and then we have to talk word of God with our mouth, and then all things what we need and what need to happen, they will happen. And then here is some other limitation to, because just after this, when Jesus taught this way to remove mountains, after that straight away he started to teach about forgiveness. And he said that whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And I believe that if we have unforgiveness in our heart, we could not remove the mountains. Because our attitude, our heart is not right before the Lord, and so we don't have faith to remove mountains. So there are two things. If we have doubt, we could not remove mountains. If we have unforgiveness in our heart, we could not remove mountains. So we must be very carefully that there is not unforgiveness in our heart. In Finland, I don't know how is it here in United States, but in Finland I many times meet some person that they says that yes, I forgave that person many years ago. And when I ask that, have you forgiven this and this thing, he says yes, I give, or she says that yes, I gave already many years ago. But then I says this person that why are you still talking about this thing if you have really forgiven this and this thing? I think that the blood of Jesus has not we have not received the whole work of blood of Jesus if we says that we have forgiven some person and then we are still talking about that bad thing what that person did for us. So the forgiveness has not then pour perfectly down our heart. There is something missing still. For example, there was one time came a lady to my meeting, and then he was a little bit bitter because they had separated inheritance. There was the family where there were maybe five or six children, and their parents were farmers, and then they divided the farm, and then she said that they gave me the baddest part, the baddest part of the farm, which had no any fallow at all. And then I asked that how long ago this thing happened, and he said, oh, it happened 40 years ago. And then I said, why are you still talking about it? Why you don't understand that Jesus has you much more better inheritance in his kingdom? And first I asked her that, has you really forgive for your brothers and sisters? And she says yes, but she was still talking about that bad thing. And so I said that you have to repent, your heart is not right before the Lord. You have not really forgive them, because you are still talking about this thing. If you really forgive, it means that we are not talking anymore those things. We cover them under the blood, and we are not anymore wishing that see when we have forgiven some person they trespasses, but they have hurt us or did some bad things. So there will be doubt and there will be unforgiveness, which limit the mountain to remove, which limit the weight of the work in our life. There may be some other things, but I share just now these two things. And Jesus told many times to his disciples to keep faith in God. Not just to believe that there is God. It's much more to have faith in God. It's not just to believe that he is. It's much more to have the faith in God. To know him personally, to move in his spirit, to do what he says. The real faith is much more than just believe that he is and he is alive. There was in my life 7-year period that I believed that there is God, but I wasn't really born again. But then the real gospel came and I received Jesus, and then I got the real faith in God, and my life got a big change. Maybe 3 years ago, one brother called me to go to Estonia, and Estonia is one of those Baltic countries which came out from the Soviet Union when they divided the Soviet Union, when the communist power went down, and Estonian people are speaking relative language with Finnish language, and they are south from Finland, and there is a sea between us, and we went there to see some churches, and also we took some humanitarian help for some churches and hospitals there, and then we had to rent a truck to get those all aids there, because we had much medicines and all diapers and clothes and many kind and wood and many things, and then we rent a truck and we went from Helsinki, the capital city of Finland, with a ferry, with a big ship there to the other side of that bay where is the Tallinn, the capital city of Estonia. And then we drove there to the other side of that country, that Estonia, and then we shared those old things to those places what they had planned to go. And then when we had already emptied that truck and all those things, and then we got the phone call from the harbor that other ship has been broken, and normally there were 2 ships going between Helsinki and Tallinn, but that day the other ship had broke, and then there was only 1 ship, and then we knew that we need much weight if we can get the place in the ship to come back to Finland. And we had to hurry because we had the high rent about that track, and so we prayed that asked that Lord give us the place in there in that ship that we will get the track very quick back to Helsinki. And but then there was in that group there was one brother, I don't remember anymore his real name, but I can use name Thomas. Is it Thomas in here one disciple who was doubting all the time in the Bible, Thomas, mm-hmm. Okay, and he was talking all the time against what we prayed and what I said, and he said that because the other ship is out of the order, it's impossible for us to go this night to Helsinki, and he was doubting all the time, and I rebuked him, and I said to him that you have to keep the faith in God and not talk against what we prayed. But he was all the time talking. And then we came there to the harbor in Tallinn, and there is a great parking area where all cars are waiting. They turn to come inside to the ship. And there was maybe 5 times more cars and trucks and all vehicles what one ship can take across to the sea, and that brother started again to speak that, Jari, could you see that here are so many cars and trucks and all kind of vehicles, it is impossible for us to go this night Helsinki. And I said to him that be quiet, we will go across the bay this night, and then they start to learn that ship, and all cars went there and all trucks, And then finally the ship came full, and last vehicle which went inside to the ship was a big long truck. And then that Thomas said to me again, "Jari, now you see that we can't go this night to Helsinki." And I said that be quiet, because the front gate of the ship is still open, and be quiet, we have living God. And then Lord made a miracle, and that truck reversed it back out from the ship. And then there came a man and saw with us that welcome here in the ship. And I don't know why they make the change in natural way. I don't know why the truck had to come out there, but I know that in spirit that Lord had a place for us, and so we need not to pay that high rent. We could return that truck right current time. So we have to, if we pray something and ask God to get help, we have to keep our mind in Christ and not to see the natural way. If I had start to see those old cars there, which were five times more what the one ship can take to Helsinki, maybe we had been there 3 or 4 days waiting our time to get the lift back to Helsinki. So if we ask something from Lord, we have always confess with our mouth. We have to have the agreement with what we pray. I think many people are under this condition that they can't receive from the Lord because they pray something, but they are talking different way than what they are praying. I remember one day in meeting came one lady, asked me to pray for her, and he had some illnesses, and I prayed for her. And when he stand up there, she was sitting there in the service when I was praying for her, and when I was finished, she said, "Oh, tomorrow I have to go to see doctor." And so she had not any faith at all. And so I said the same, did I pray for you or not, because you did not receive anything. So if you pray something, we have to talk same way with your mouth. There have to be agreement with our heart and agreement with our mouth. That way we could speak to the mountain and it will be removed from its place. Doesn't matter what kind of mountain it is. Is it disease or debris or financial problem or any kind? It will remove if we have the weight in Jesus Christ. And then we can see very short, only one or even a half verse from Luke 18 and verse 8. I read only the one sentence. Is it: "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Here is the question marks after this sentence. Will he find faith on the earth when he comes? It is like the silence for us. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in my heart? Will he find faith in your heart? Will he find church? Will he find faith in the midst of the congregation? Because there is the questions mark. It means that we can do something to answer these questions. Will he find faith when he comes? It depends on us. His born again children. It depends on us. Does he find faith or not he find faith when he comes? It depends on you and it depends on me. It depends on all Christians. I believe that when he comes, he find much religion people, and he will find much those virgins who are sleeping. But is he finding persons who are awake, who has real weight? Jesus was sometimes frustrated to the generation among he was living. He was frustrated because of unbelief, because people didn't believe. And Bible tells that when he came to his home city, Nazareth, that he could only heal few persons there because of the unbelief. He could heal only someone, put laying hands on them. But many other cities, he just spoke the word and they received it and they got healed. He need not at all to lay hands on them. But in Nazareth, he had to lay the hands on them because they had so much unbelief. And Bible says that he could heal there only few people, not all. But some other cities, many people got healed and many demons he cast out and made many miracles. But what was the problem there in the Nazareth? Why there was that unbelief? Why there wasn't faith, real living faith? The problem was that they saw Jesus only the son of Joseph. They saw Jesus like the carpenter. They didn't see him, the son of living God. They saw only the natural way. They remember that Jesus was there living when he was child and he was doing work with Joseph. I'm not saying that he was doing work with his father, because it is the liberal Bible translation which says that Joseph was the Jesus' father. The real Bible never says that Joseph was Jesus' father, because we know that Mary was virgin and Jesus was get the start through the Holy Spirit. But however, he was doing work with Joseph, and they remember it that, but they didn't mention him that he is the son of living God. And that was the problem, and so they had unbelief. They did not have faith there in the city of Nazareth. But this problem is sometimes also in the church, that we see like the people in Nazareth. We see the things in the natural level, and then we not could remove mountains. If we start to see things in natural way, there will be no weight in our heart. We have to see things. We have to call invisible things to come, and Bible says that they will come. The weight calls things what we can't now see. Weight already comes then, calls them to come, and Bible says that they will come if we have real weight. But if we just see the condition and all kind of situation and we are talking about them, then there will come problems in our life. Then we will go to the Matthew, where the Peter was walking on the water, and it is Matthew 14 and maybe 25, verse 25. Matthew 14 and 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you and come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? was Peter really walking on the water? He says yes. But what was the real thing on which he was walking? It was the word come. When Jesus said the word come, then Peter's heart came encouraged and he got the weight, and then he took the step out from the boat. So in fact he was walking on the rock of Christ, on the word of living God. And up this moment when he kept his mind in this word which Jesus said, come, the water was keeping his up, or even the word of God was keeping his up. But then he started to see what was there beside him. Maybe he saw the waves there, and maybe he saw the storms and all those situations, and then he started to fall down. And then Jesus said that, why did you doubt? Because he start to doubt, he start to fall down inside of the water. But Jesus helped him, however, but he had to come back to the boat. He had to come back to the natural way to go on the water. He had to come back to the boat because he start doubt. Maybe if he had kept his mind in this word which Jesus said that come, maybe he could walk across the whole lake with Jesus. But he had to come back to the boat because he start doubt. And sometimes this thing will happen for us if we start doubt. Maybe God says to you that something that do this thing and do that thing, and if you start to doubt, you will that you will start fall because you start doubt. Then you start to cry Jesus that why this happens to me? And then you understand it happens to me because I'm doubting. I'm not having faith in living God. So if God speaks something, we have to believe. I will tell a story it is a real story, and in fact it is a serious story because some person got killed after this what happened. It happened in Africa a few years ago that some pastors from the church read these verses from the Bible, these same verses what I was reading now, and then they decided that they will test their weight, and they took a boat and went inside to the river, in the middle of the river, and they decided all together that now we will walk on the water. And then they all start to walk there, and no one of them could swim, and they all died when they went down to the water. And what was the problem? They read the Bible, and there was the word that come, but they died, however. And problem was this: they had this idea in their brains. They were just thinking this word. But Jesus did not call them to come on the water. They just read these letters here in the Bible, but it did come through the Spirit of God. And maybe it's well known to you that there is, in Greek language, there are two words which describes the word of God. There is the word logos and word rhema. And logos means all God's commandments and all rules, all kinds of these things, all laws. But word rhema, I can describe it like it's the right word at the right place at the right time. And rhema is that Lord talks you to do something. We can't read the Bible wherever we want and do. We can't pick just hear the word and then start to do it. We need the Spirit to making it word to live, to be alive in our heart. And I have an example here from the Bible, talking about one rhema word. What happened when one person received the rhema word. But rhema word is the word at the right place at right time. Right word at right right place and right time, and then it works. So we need to hear the word of God. We have to hear His Spirit. We can't just take some word and decide now we will go to walk on the water and do something else. If it's so our own thinking, it does not work. But if God speaks us to go to walk on the water, then we can go, and the water will keep us up, even this word. And here is the Second Kings chapter 5. I don't know how you say do you say Naaman or Naiman?
Naaman?
Naaman? Oh, okay. Now Naaman, come, I will read you. Second Kings chapter 5, and in the beginning. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abanah and the Farber, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." So we see here that Naaman had some expectation. He was expecting that the prophet Elisha comes to wave hand before his sick place and healing him this way. But Lot saw his heart and saw his life that he was a proud man. And before he could receive his healing and this miracle, Lot wanted to make his humble. He wanted to handle his proud mind, and after that he could receive. We see that he was a little bit proud here because he did not want to go to wash there in the Jordan River. But praise God that he had some faithful servants who had wisdom, and they said that it is not so great. It not so, that prophet need not ask so much from you. You can go to wash there in Jordan River. And then he decided to go, and his flesh came well. He got healed. And this was the special word just for Naaman. Maybe somebody else heard this word later, that prophet Elisha gave this word to Naaman. And maybe somebody else went to washing himself or herself seven times there in Jordan River. But maybe that other one did not come heal. Why somebody else became healed when he or she went there to wash in Jordan River? There could be, maybe there went many persons to test, but they did not come heal. And why? Because this was the Rhema word just for Naaman. It was the God's way to handle his proud spirit, and it was God's way to heal just this person. And maybe some other were expecting to get healed same way, but it was not the God's plan. It was the word for Naaman, the Rhema word. And it worked in his life. And he got healed. We see that when Jesus were healing some persons, he did some things different ways. Sometimes he healed the sick that he took a little bit sand, and then he was it spot or what he did spit to it, and then put that man ice and comment to go to clean there in the pond of Siloah. But other time, he said some blind people that go and saw you to the priest and you will get healed. So it was the Rhema word. It was different word for the different people. And way it works, if we receive really from the Lord and we receive to understand what understanding what to do in our living conditions. We need our life, the special word, and the promises must open for us, personality. We can not learn to lean for someone else's faith all the time. When we are baby Christians, it's okay that we lean somebody else's faith and we keep somebody's coat and ask him to or her to pray for us all the time. But Lord wants that we not all the time lean to somebody else's faith, that he wants that our faith increase, that we start to receive Rhema words directly from him for our own life. That we will succeed all kind of situation in our life, but also that we get the ability to start to help other people. So it says that we need not to lean our own understanding also, not our thinking. We have to forsake sometimes our thinking, what we have here in our aims, our brains, that Lord will reveal us his plan and his purpose for our life. So we need to receive the Rhema word for our living conditions. We can pray when we find here some promises from the Bible. It is okay. But we can't do this way like those pastors there in Africa, that one day we just think our brains to hear that, no, today I will go to walk on the water. It doesn't work. But if Lord says to you, today you can go on the walk, okay, let's go and do that. And then you will see. And then you will stay there on the water. So it means that promises have to start to get alive our heart, that there is life here, and we have, they are leaving here our heart, and then we are speaking them through our mouth, and they will work. And then I will see some, maybe I see something verse from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8 and through that. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, I will. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in you heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ with passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Here are many things, and maybe you can see them more at home, but I will point here out little some things. I will read a little bit again this verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So it means that the Lord wants through the church bring his wisdom to make known to the principalities and powers. It means the demons and evil's powers. And we have to bring his wisdom to known to the demon spirits, the church. I don't know, remember the English name, but after many times when the presidents meet each other, for example, the Clinton and Yeltsin came a few weeks ago there to Helsinki. And after this, what they had discussing and had some meetings. After that day, all the time they have the time for the newspapers and television and so all kind of media. They are telling them what is now happening and what we decided and so. And in the spirit, Lord has asked us to do this for the principalities and powers in the heavenly places for the demons. We have to let them know that Jesus Christ is alive and he is leaving our heart, and we must let them know that we have more power than any kind of demon has power. We have to bring up to God's wisdom. Do you say manifold wisdom or money? Yes. Manifold wisdom. We have bring this manifold wisdom. We have let all devil spirit to know that there is Jesus Christ, that he is alive, that that his tomb is empty. Maybe we sometimes are waiting, Lord, God doing something, but this spirit, this says that that through the church, this manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. It depends on us how much the glory of God is known there in heavenly places. How much weight we have, it depends on that. So I think that when we are praying, when we are praising, it's all the time hard time for those principalities and powers. And this is it's like those presidents are sharing information. And this is like information when we are praising God and serving him and honoring him and worshiping in spirit, speaking his word, doing his good things. It is like the information for the principalities, that powers, that now there is happening some in the spiritual world. That we have to show to the devil that we have the real power with Jesus Christ. Amen. Without Jesus we can do nothing. It came up, we said it yesterday and it came today when Mauri said it, that without Jesus we can do nothing. But with Jesus we can share this information for all principalities and powers and say that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And then there happens something. If we get those principalities and powers to remove those real mountains, if we get them to remove, there will happen something. There will start more souls getting saved. More people will get healed and all heavenly things can happen. We remember from the life of Daniel that he had to pray 3 weeks that the angel of God, was it Michael, could come to bring message for him from heaven. And what was the problem during those three weeks? There is one, the ruler of the Persian kingdom ruler was fighting against him. But when Daniel humbled his heart before the Lord and started to pray, so after 3 weeks the archangel Michael came and destroyed this demon's power, and then Daniel could receive the message for the end time church. He got a strong prophecy what will happen when the days are ending. But the demons did not want this message to come to know, and this ruler of the Persian kingdom wanted to fight against, but because Daniel had to wait in God, he was fighting, and finally this mountain removed and there came to answer, and Archangel Michael could bring this message for him. So we understand that demons are fighting against us, that they are trying us to, they are trying to break the fellowship what we have with Jesus, and they are trying us to destroy, not to keep faith in him, and sometimes it looks like the demons are like the black cloud. Here when we are praying to God, demons try to bring the black cloud between us and between God, that we don't see his glory. But if we have to wait in Jesus Christ and wait in God, the living weight, we could command those clouds to go, those all demon spirit to go, and so we could share this information in the heavenly places, and demons have to go, and then we see the glory of the God, glory of the Jesus Christ. Maybe this is looks like this is all what I had me in my heart this night, and I hope that more mountains. I'm not only hoping, I will believe that more mountains will remove in your life and all situation, and also this church after this message, and be very bold to share these informations to the principalities and to the powers, and be not afraid, because Jesus cried out there on the cross of the Calvary that it is finished. He did the work already, and we can receive this real work, and because of Jesus did the work, we can talk to the demon spirit to go, and we can share this information we can share this information with his power, because he has earned us the power. And we will pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, holy presence, and I ask this word will come flesh, and I ask that open this heart to understand what I am speaking, and I ask that your spirit will talk more when I'm getting finished, and Lord, bless these people and bless this congregation, and let these people wait in you, increase all the time, that they could go up and up those stairs and take more and more weight steps and bigger steps all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if there is somebody who has been doubting, Lord, we ask that your blood will clean for all that doubting. And Lord, we ask if there is somebody who has not really worked even, is there somebody who has still talking about those bad things, what's happening, and how the people did bad things. So Lord, we ask that your blood will make more deep work, that this heart will come really clean and free from all bitterness and all unworked. Hallelujah. That there will be your light and there will be your peace. Hallelujah. Lord, we command all the mountain of the bitterness to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we command all mountain of doubting to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we command all false things what devil has taught us to, those mountains, we command also to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Lord, we ask that pour down the weight spirit, that it will be enough that we just speak the word and people will get healed and will get the answer their problems, that we need not to be like in the Nazareth that we could heal only few persons, but we will see that you will heal everybody in the church. Hallelujah. Ore seke de sente de glory di senti coro soco dolo mo santo coro do arose de kente de glory. And Lord, we want to have the same mind with you. We will agree with your promises, and we ask that open the Rhema word for us in our life, and send your word for all kind of situation, that we have the word of Christ we will have the word of Christ in all situation, that we could speak to the mountain, they could to remove. Hallelujah. Because Lord, you said to devil that it is written, and then the devil had to go because you said it is written. It is written. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ore seke descente de glory descente. Let these people be strong and be them bold in you. Hallelujah. Ore se de kente de groni senti de glory. Ore seke descente de glory senti de glory. And Lord Jesus, I thank that you are. You are walking here in the midst of us, hallelujah. And you are doing mighty things this night here in the midst of us, hallelujah. Ore se de kente de glory, descendi de glory, senti de glory. Lord, I thank you. You are doing mighty things us now, hallelujah. Ore se de kente de glory, senti de glory, senti de glory, senti de glory, descendi de glory. I thank that there is pouring down more weight, that there is pouring down the weight spirit, hallelujah. Ore seke de sente de glory de senti, and we thank that we will and we could be open vessels this time to receive more weight spirit this time, hallelujah. Because the Bible says that the Joshua and Caleb had another spirit, they had the spirit of faith, hallelujah, and we will receive the spirit what the Joshua and Caleb had, the spirit of faith, and they, because they had the spirit of faith, they could go to possess the land, hallelujah, and ask the Lord that bless these people to go and possess the land and bless them to succeed in that work, hallelujah. Oh, receive the senti de glory. Bless my lovely friends and your friends, hallelujah, because you call your disciples your friends, hallelujah. Bless with the mighty blessing this time now, hallelujah. Oh, receive the senti. Touch somebody's right shoulder. Touch us now and let it get healed now. I command this pain to go right shoulder now in the name of Jesus. And whole right hand, we command all weakness to go from that hand now and let it come healed now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We praise and we lift your holy name. Hallelujah. We draw on you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ore seke de besente de glory. And we enter your holy presence there in heaven, hallelujah. We come to the most high place through your holy blood, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. And we bring all our questions to know you, Father, with faith, hallelujah. And we will not doubt, we just want to believe what you says us to this night, hallelujah. And we will do what you says us this night, hallelujah. Ore seke de seke de sente dei, ore seke de sente de keme de se. Omo rosso codomo santo aso rosso corosso conmo allora re sene mere de sente gloria, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord, hallelujah. Corosso codo santo do glory ore sedi. We thank your glory, we thank your holy presence here, hallelujah. Ore, we thank the spirit of faith, hallelujah, dwelling with us, hallelujah, dwelling in us, in our heart, hallelujah. Ore, help us to speak right verse and right time at the right place, hallelujah. Oh, reseke de sente de glory. Oh, hallelujah, la barasia de l'amor. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. And we thank that you has already touched somebody's stomach, and we thank it will be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank this stomach has healed already in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Corese de que descende de glory. Orese que descende de glory. Se de crei. Corese de que de me senti. Corosoco dorosonto. And we thank the right knee that you will heal it now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank your power, we thank your presence, we thank your healing power for this feet, this wood in the name of Jesus. Corre se che descendi de gloria. There in the same wood there is some problem also in the ankle, and we thank that you heal the whole wood now in the name of Jesus, the right wood in the name of Jesus, get healed, all knee and all ankle in the name of Jesus, and all bones and all things there in the name of Jesus, come healed now, the whole wood in the name of Jesus, the whole wood in the name of Jesus. Corre se che de me sente de glory, glory, glory. Oh, re se de kenti de, just believe that it happens, hallelujah. Oh, re se che de sente de glory. Already send thee the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gloria. Stand the gloria. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you will bless us this night and bless all persons and bless all families who are members of this church and all lonely people too. Bless them, all single people, bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And let the inner man increase, hallelujah, and be strong with Jesus, hallelujah. Be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.